Welcome to day 167 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we will be reading 1 Kings chapter 9 and 2 Chronicles chapter 8 from the Amplified Bible. Today we will hear a second recounting of the appearance of the Lord to Solomon. And this, of course, brings us some beautiful words that the Lord spoke to Solomon and also some very serious warnings that he received from the Lord about following his commandments closely or ending up with the Lord departing from him. So we will start at 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. When Solomon finished the building of the Lord's house and the king's house and all he desired and was pleased to do, the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord told him, "I have heard your prayer and supplication which you have made before me. I have hallowed this house which you have built, and I have put my name and my presence there forever. My eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if you walk before me as David your father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I've commanded you, keeping my statutes and my precepts, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, there shall not fail you to have a man upon the throne of Israel. But if you turn away from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them, and this house I have hallowed for my name, renown I will cast from my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. This house shall become a heap of ruins. Every passerby shall be astonished and shall hiss with surprise and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have laid hold of other gods and have worshipped and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought on them all this evil. At the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the Lord's house and the king's house, for which Hiram, king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with as much cedar and cypress timber and gold as he desired, King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And Hiram came from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they did not please him. He said, what are these cities worth which you have given me, my brother? So they are called the Kabul, unproductive land, to this day. And Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. This is the account of the levy of forced labor which King Solomon raised to build the house of the Lord, his own house, the Millo, the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer, burned it with fire, slew the Canaanites who dwelt in the city, and had given it as dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer and lower Beth Horon, Baalath, and Tamar, Tadmor, in the wilderness, in the land of Judah, and all the store cities which Solomon had, and cities for his chariots, and cities for his horsemen, and whatever Solomon desired to build for his pleasure in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the land of his dominion. As for all the people who were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, who were not Israelites, their children who were left after them in the land, whom the Israelites were not able utterly to destroy, of them Solomon made a forced levy of slaves to this day. But Solomon made no slaves of the Israelites. They were the soldiers, his officials, attendants, commanders, captains, chariot officers, and horsemen. These were the chief officers over Solomon's work, 550 who had charge of the people who did the work. But Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then he built the Millo. 3 times a year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar he built to the Lord, and he burned incense with them before the Lord. So he finished the house. And King Solomon made a fleet of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in Edom. And Hiram sent with the fleets his servants, shipmen who had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. They came to Ophir and got 420 talents of gold and brought it to King Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 1. At the end of 20 years, in which Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, the cities which Hiram had given to him, Solomon, rebuilt and fortified and caused the Israelites to dwell there. And Solomon took Hamath-Zobah. He built Tadmor in the wilderness and all his store cities in Hamath. Also he built Upper Beth-Horon and Lower Beth-Horon, fortified cities with walls, gates, and bars, and Baalath, and all the store cities he had, and all the cities for his chariots, and the cities for his horsemen, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all his dominion. All the people who were left of the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, who were not of Israel, but descendants of those who were left in the land, whom the Israelites had not destroyed, of them Solomon made a levy for forced labor to this day. But of the Israelites, Solomon made no slaves for his work, but they were men of war, chiefs of his captains, and captains of his chariots and horsemen. These were the chiefs of King Solomon's officers, 250 in authority over the people. Solomon brought the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David into the house he had built for her, for he said, "My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy to which the ark of the Lord has come." Then Solomon offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the Lord's altar which he had built before the temple porch or vestibule, a certain number every day, offering as Moses commanded for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the solemn feast days 3 times in the year, the feasts of unleavened bread, of weeks, and of tabernacles. And he appointed, as ordered by David his father, the divisions of the priests for their service, and the Levites to their offices to praise and to serve before the priests as duty of every day required, and the gatekeepers also by their divisions at every gate, for so had David the man of God commanded. And they did not turn from the command of the king to the priests and Levites in any respect or concerning the treasuries. Thus all the work of Solomon was prepared from the day the foundation of the Lord's house was laid until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was completed. Then Solomon went to Ezion-Geber and to Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. and Huram sent him by his servants' ships and servants familiar with the sea, and they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and took from there 450 talents of gold and brought them to King Solomon. This is the end of today's scripture reading. When we first began to read about Solomon's beginning of his reign as the monarch, the head or the king of Israel, one of his first moves was a political marriage, and it was that he took the daughter of Pharaoh as a wife. Now we know from history that this was definitely a political alliance, but it was also simultaneously a violation of God's word that the Israelites were never to intermarry with the heathen nations who did not serve the one true God. And clearly, Solomon's choice of Pharaoh's daughter as a wife was a complete disregard and disobedience for that specific commandment of God. It was essentially a major compromise of Solomon's sworn duty to uphold the statutes and commandments of the Lord, and yet at the same time he's trying to maintain peace for Israel with all the neighboring nations. In the same chapter, 1 Kings chapter 3, where we are told initially about this alliance that Solomon made with the daughter of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, we are also told that Solomon loved the Lord. So we see in this same time frame, a time frame when Solomon is walking closely with God, he loves the Lord. That same chapter reveals God visits him and speaks to him, asking him what he would like him to do for him. So we see there's some compromise in Solomon's life at the same time that he really is trying to walk closely with God. So this speaks to us that it is definitely a temptation that comes to people even when they are walking closely with the Lord. And in today's reading, in 2 Chronicles 8, in the 11th verse, we find a second reference to the daughter of Pharaoh. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. It said, Solomon brought the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David into the house he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy to which the ark of the Lord has come. Now this was a statement that tells us that Solomon was very aware that the daughter of Pharaoh was not a holy person or living a holy life. There's no doubt that she was proselytized about the true God, about Jehovah, but undoubtedly, after the years that had passed, and it would have been nearly 20 years because she was taken as a wife early in Solomon's reign. Then it took 7 years to build the temple. And then Solomon began building his own houses, the administrative complex, and that made it to a point of about 20 years. And at that point is when this verse tells us that Solomon brought her into the house that he had built for her. So most likely at least 15 years had passed since she was taken in as a wife, and now he gives her her own house and removed her outside of what was considered the City of David area, where the Ark of the Covenant had been brought by King David with great festivity and joy to that area when he brought it up to have it in Jerusalem, the City of David. And Solomon considered that his wife, not a Jew, not someone serving the one true God, that it wasn't appropriate for her to live where the Ark of the Covenant had rested. And it's quite possible that after the years had gone by, either she had reverted to worshiping the false gods of Egypt, or perhaps the maids that she brought from Egypt to serve her, were still idolaters. For whatever reason, Solomon was well aware that the daughter of Pharaoh was not one that was worshiping the one true God, and therefore it was inappropriate to have her living on the same property where the Ark of God had rested. And the point that I want to bring to you today is that Solomon is a character that walked with God closely, and yet at the same time, he allowed compromise in his life. And when I say the word compromise, I'm talking about sacrificing a value, truth, or belief in order to gain something. In Solomon's case, maybe false peace with the king of Egypt, or temporary peace with him, because it would be hard for the Pharaoh of Egypt to declare war on a nation where his daughter is the queen. And it would also be hard for him to have his soldiers attack the country where his daughter is living. So no doubt this political marriage, political alliance by marrying Pharaoh's daughter, in Solomon's mind, was a way of keeping peace with Egypt, one of the most powerful nations in the area. But to do that meant he had to compromise. He had to sacrifice his belief, his value that God's word and his statutes and his commandments were number one. And he was well aware that it was the commandment of God not to intermarry with non-Hebrew women. So though he was walking with the Lord, he made compromises in his life that we are very shortly to see ended up being his downfall and his total ruin and destruction. There's a story that's told, and it's a sort of a fable, and it's called The Hunter and the Bear. And to me, it's an excellent illustration of the end result of compromise. The story goes this way. Winter was coming on, and a hunter decided to go out into the forest and find a bear to shoot because he planned to make himself a very warm coat from the fur of the bear. By and by, he saw a bear coming toward him, and he raised his gun and took aim. But suddenly, the bear spoke and said, "Wait, why do you want to shoot me?" The hunter replied, "Because I'm cold and I won't need a bear coat." The bear replied to him, "But I'm hungry, so maybe we can reach some sort of a compromise." The hunter said, "Okay, how does that work?" And by the time it was all over and the compromise was reached, the hunter was well enveloped in the bear's fur, and the bear had eaten the hunter for dinner. The moral of that story is that we always lose when we try to compromise with sin. In the end, it will consume us. And that is the story, truly, of Solomon's life. We haven't heard the end yet, but you're about to. And this very glorious beginning of Solomon's monarchy would not last long, and it would be the compromises that Solomon made by sacrificing obedience to the word of God, very strict obedience to the word of God, in order to gain something. In the beginning, it appears that what Solomon would be gaining would be political stability, protection from the advances or wars by surrounding nations, because he began to marry one by one various daughters of various kings and sovereigns of the nations around him. And he, I'm sure, believed that this would keep peace in the land because these countries would not attack where their own daughter lived and was a wife to the king. But that compromise that Solomon made ended up being his total and absolute destruction. The scriptures that we will read in the next few weeks tell us that at the end of Solomon's life, that the wives that he had married from all these foreign nations, heathen nations that worshiped all these idols and false gods, turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord, and he ended up at the end of his life worshiping statues, false gods, completely nothing, no true God. His life was in utter ruins by the end. But it all began somewhere, because he started out that he loved God. He started out walking close to the Lord. He started out having the Lord visit him and having conversations with the Lord himself. And yet the open door of compromise, which began with him marrying Pharaoh's daughter, ended up opening a door of lust. He began to want more foreign wives. Until the end of his life, he had a total of wives and concubines, 1,000. All these foreign wives, marrying all these different ones, it opened a door that was destruction. And it's the same for us in today's society. You may love God. You're listening to my everyday Bible, so I believe that you have a desire to be close to God, to know the Lord, to walk with God, to hear His voice. And yet there may be certain small areas of your life where you make exceptions to God's rules. You know that God wouldn't necessarily approve of that, but you do a little of this and a little of that and open the door that is not compatible with the statutes of the Lord or the desires of God or the lifestyle that God would have for you. And it may seem small right now, but if you continue in that, like Solomon, who started out having visions and dreams and God appearing to him and speaking with the Lord and asking wise requests of the Lord, God, give me wisdom to rule your people, asking one of the greatest requests that any king could ever ask of God. And yet his end was so terrible compared to his beginning. We don't want to go from a place where we're walking closely with the Lord, but we allow a little bit of compromise in our life that ends up slowly, slowly taking us down a path that is far from the Lord. So I just want to encourage you today, consider what it is in your life that perhaps isn't pleasing the Lord. And ask the Holy Spirit for grace to put that thing far from you. If Solomon had stopped right here when he had just married Pharaoh's daughter and had stopped right there with that one wife, and he had repented and asked the Lord to forgive him for marrying a heathen who didn't honor and serve the Lord, God could have turned things around for him and he could have had a very good reign. But instead, he kept opening the door wider and wider and wider. One wife after another, one foreign country who worshiped different false deities and idols and sacrificed their children and all of the horrible things that went with the idolatry of the heathen nations around Israel at that time. That door, as it opened wider and wider, brought him down. Think about your own life. Is there anything, small thing, in your life where you've compromised? Stop. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. Ask God to help you resist that thing. Ask the Lord's grace to put that thing far from you and start afresh. And walk with the Lord closely. Listen to His voice. Continue to seek Him. Seek His word. Ask Him to show you if there's any area in your heart, even in your mind, in your thought life, where you've compromised and allowed something that displeases the Lord. And God will help you to be cleansed of that thing and keep you on a path that's close in your walk with God. So God bless you as you prayerfully consider those thoughts today on the issue of compromise, and may God be with you and bless you this week.